Okay, so we're now in the book of John, chapter 6. This is a little long to read, but it's very important stuff. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a huge crowd was following because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. So Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" He asked him this to test him, for himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little." Now, a denarii is about one day's wage. So we're saying this is 200 days of wages would be how much this would cost. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. So they sat down. Probably why they were hungry was all that grass. Anyway, the men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that they were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This really is the prophet who was to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus knew that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. Then a high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on board, but he said to them, Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat was at the shore. Man, I can't talk tonight. Where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew there'd been only one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate loaves and were filled. Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. What sign, then, are you going to do that we may see and believe you?" They asked, "What are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I assure you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "No one comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Just as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Therefore the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can we say, he's now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that everyone may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my food and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your fathers ate, and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn from it. Help me to explain it well. Go with us as we go out to serve you, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, like I say, this is a very long passage, but I'm going to hit the high points of it. I'm going to try to get the things that we're supposed to take from it. Now, the background of this is approximately 6 months later than what happened in chapter 5. But he's staying up in the north in Galilee because he wants to rest. And he wants to talk to people up there who are listening to him. The common people responded to him. The religious leaders and the people down south didn't. So as he's teaching, this great huge group comes along, and he knows that this crowd wants to see miracles. That's what they're there for. So he asks Philip, where can they get food to feed these people? Because it was a test just to see what he would say. Philip says it can't be done. But Andrew offers what little he has. He's been out talking to people and saying, who's got food, who's got what, where can we get it, and all this. He at least had the faith to know that if he went out and looked, that God would probably provide. Now, it says 5,000 men, so there were probably way more, at least probably 15,000 more, who, or at least 10,000 more, total of 15, they think, because the only show count the men, not the women or the children. So Jesus just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving from the stuff that they brought to him. And they started with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they ended up with 12 baskets full after everybody was already full and eating everything they wanted. So it kind of violates the famous law of conservation of matter and energy, because he was like literally creating on the spot. They knew he was the one that Moses had predicted. They say that. This is the prophet that Moses said was going to come. And it's important that they said that at that time, because later they decide maybe we're not right. So Jesus tells them to go on while he dismisses the people. And they get out to the middle of the lake, and they're not making progress. When they talk about a big wind, they're probably going into the wind. They're roaring as hard as they can, and they're not really getting anywhere. So they see Jesus walking across on the water, and they freak out. If I saw somebody walking on the water, I'd probably freak out too. So then Jesus gets in the boat, and they're instantly on the other side. So, which is actually probably another miracle. They just, wing, they're there. So then he gets into this big discussion with the people. Once they realized that he wasn't still on the one side, they went over the other side to find him. And they go looking for him, and they find him in Capernaum. Now this is, Capernaum is where his headquarters kind of was, where he was working out of. And he tells them, you're only coming for food. You're only here because you got fed. And then he tells them to perform the works of God, believe in the one that he sent. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, Moses gave us bread. That was a miracle. And Jesus says, no, he did not give you bread. God gave you bread. Mm-hmm. Moses was just the person who told you about it. And then he says that he is, in fact, the bread of life. Now, we've often seen Jesus using these types of metaphors where he says, I'm the bread of life. And what he's actually talking about is the message of salvation, is the bread of life. He talks about having living water springing from your soul once you've come to the one that God sent. But the people don't want to hear it. They say, your teaching is too hard. We can't deal with this. And the reason is, they want a political Messiah. They want the guy who's coming to take over. But they got a spiritual Messiah, somebody who came not to save their country and their bodies and all that stuff, but to save their souls. He says they're going to be offended by him. And by the things that they see him do. And so then he asked the 12, do you want to leave too? And they say, only you have the words of life. This is very important. They're starting, his little group is starting to get it. So, what does this all mean to us? First of all, signs are less important than filling needs. You don't need to see things. You need to see what is needed and go find a way to fill the need. That's what happened in feeding the 5,000. Philip just said, oh no, it'll take a miracle. Which they did get. But Andrew says, let's see what we got that we can put in Jesus' hands and let him use it. He's walking on water to go across. And basically, that's because he's in charge of everything and he, you know, everything works based on him anyway. So he just walks over there. And as soon as he gets in, they're fighting and having a hard time. And the boat's just there, bang, instantly. And so he's taking care of needs. Now, they were the only ones who saw this because it was out in the middle of the lake. And the reason for this is some signs are only for certain people. Some signs are only something that somebody sees that's important to them. Everybody else might look at it and say, well, that's meaningless to me, or whatever. So we need to remember that we come to Jesus for forgiveness, not for stuff. Now, sometimes we get stuff, but what we need is forgiveness of our sins and getting right with God. We don't know what's going to happen with Roxana, but we know that Jesus already has her safe. No matter what happens with Roxana, she will be safe with the Lord for eternity. So will all of us. Like I say, I have been in a situation where bike is going down and I thought, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm killed. That's it. I'm going to die. And I realized that what I was more worried about was getting hurt than getting killed. Because if I got killed, I'd just go be with the Lord and Pat and everybody can just fend for themselves. But, you know, no, I've got stuff set up to take care of them. But anyway, we come to Jesus to get right with God. Now, when he comes back the next time, now he's going to be not just a political Messiah, but a royal one. He's going to come in, and as Tom Skinner says, he's not taking sides. He's going to take over. His word will be law, and nobody will be able to avoid it. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We ask you to bless and guide Roxana and to heal her. When we thought she had been healed, we gave you great praise. We still praise you in that we know that you're doing something in Roxana. We just don't know what it is. Lord, we pray that you will continue doing it and that you will do things in us that you want from us. Lord, you never ask us to do anything we can do. You always ask us to do things that we have to ask you for help with. Show us what you want. Show us what you're doing and help us go join you. Lord, I pray that this little church will just be a light in this area and people will be drawn to it. And that we will be able to see people come to know you all over Everett and Snohomish County. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thanks for being here, guys.